Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. I do apologise. We've having some microphone problems in the studio this afternoon, and we are all clustered around one microphone, and Jules had garlic for breakfast, would you believe? And it's not nice. But anyway, we got some fantastic guests to talk to you in the second half of the show. I just want to give a big shout out to Elite Pubs. They own a chain of pubs in Kent and Sussex, and just to let you know that I'm having a meal later this week at the Pig and Sty, and I'm really looking forward to it. Fantastic pubs, so big shout out to Elite Pubs. They've got about 8 or 9 venues now, certainly worth checking out, so do check that out. Now, I caught up with the lovely Sonia and Julie of Story 22, and we had a long chat about the kind of work they're doing in marketing and brand building and storyboarding. So let's have a listen to what they had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show, for the very first time, Julie Firth and Sonia Whittam of Story 22. Ladies, good afternoon. Welcome to the bunker.
Hello. Good afternoon.
It's really good to see you. Thank you for joining us. I don't mind who answers the questions. Just dive in and answer, and we'll sort that out as we go along. But let's kick off by finding out a little bit about Sonia and Julie first. Give us a bit of background to each of you.
Okay, shall I go first, Julie? Mm. So I'm Sonia Whittam. Julie and I set up Story 22 in March 2020. We both come from kind of business development, marketing, writing backgrounds, right. And had met while working on a previous project together. And we had discussed the book Building a Story Brand, which we both really connected well to, and just through a series of conversations over about a year decided that we would fly out to Nashville and certify as story brand guides and set up Story 22 off the back of that. So we've both got quite different backgrounds and skill sets, but we kind of meet in that strategic marketing about helping businesses grow and about how to communicate clearly with customers through marketing strategy.
Fantastic. Well, let's hear from Julie, and then we'll explore that a bit more, and we'll explore all the things you've just told us about, and you can enlighten us on what the storyboard thing is. Let's hear from Julie first.
Hi, and so my background's in journalism. I've always had a kind of passion for writing, and that sort of then led me into working in the third sector for about 10 years in a marketing and communications role. And then after, in my last role, I started to do a master's degree in strategic marketing, and part of my research project was based around story and how powerful it can be as a form of communication, which then led me neatly onto story brand. Right. And that was how, as Sonia explained, that was how the Story 22 came to have been set up.
Okay, cool. Good. Well, a couple of things there. You launched in March 2020.
Yes.
Cunning plan. I see what you did there. It's a really weird thing. I mean, I'm incredibly old, and I've been around a long time, and I've been through lots of nothing like this, but lots of other problems, you know, everything from the dot-com bubble burst through the financial meltdown and stuff like that whilst in business. And I have to say, those businesses that start at times of the lowest point in the business cycle tend to be the strongest businesses going forward, because if you can get off the ground under those circumstances, you can basically cope with anything. So I think it's quite cunning that you started in March. You didn't launch on March the 23rd by any chance.
No, we incorporated on, was it the 3rd we incorporated,
right,
on?
Okay.
But we flew back from Nashville literally kind of, 2 weeks before everyone went into lockdown. So, we really were kind of right in the height of the pandemic and the start of the pandemic.
Right.
And actually for us, I think because of the type of work that we do, successful businesses, then I think it gave them an opportunity to pause and rethink and think about the way that they communicated with their customers. And I think some of our customers had rested on their laurels for a long time and had been successful, because they were successful, not really with any strategy behind it. Yeah. And I think the pandemic actually then forced them to actually take stock and realise that if they wanted to continue to be able to be successful and continue to grow, they needed to invest time, money, energy into making their marketing work for them in you know, what is kind of a new way of working.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sonia. You nailed that completely. One of the things is we're dreadful at change. You know, we just don't like to change and we don't like to do anything different. And the vast majority of change, innovation, pivoting, which is our word of the year, and all of that is forced on us normally. We normally have to do it when something occurs that makes us, you know, the amount of people that start businesses, myself included, when we were made redundant. Yeah, you go, oh, right, nobody's ever going to give me a job now, you know, and I've got a little bit of money from a redundancy, I'll start a business. You may have been thinking about that for years, but until someone forces you, you don't do it. So you nailed that as far as I'm concerned, Sonia, that, you know, the forced change is the thing that makes everybody go off in a different direction. And it's a weird thing, isn't it? Even something as nasty as the political lockdown and the pandemic and the virus and everything, there's been lots of positives in there because it has forced people to pivot away. I mean, I know lots of retail businesses, small independent retail businesses, that were terrified of the internet and have been forced to go online and have suddenly gone, blimey, this works better than having a shop. And you go, nah, really? Who knew? But it's made them do things, so I get that. Right, what I want to do, though, is I want to come back to your starting point and your interest in country music in Nashville. That's why you went, isn't it? I've seen that. I've seen that on TV as well. Now, I'm interested in this whole story brand thing. Can you explain to the listeners what it is? And then why you had to go to Nashville to think about it, if you see what I mean.
Do you want me to take this one?
Yeah, go
you
for
take
it.
That.
Yep, okay. So the essence of story brand is about making your communication as clear as possible. So in marketing world, there is a lot of fluff. There's a lot of kind of mystique and magic, which just isn't necessary. And it's one of the things that kind of both Sonia and I feel quite strongly about, that marketing doesn't have to be complicated. It can be simple and it should work if it's done the right way.
Yeah.
So story brand is a framework, is a communication framework that enables businesses to speak very clearly to their customers in a way that puts their customer at the center of the story. I think for many years, marketing has kind of taken this approach where we've got to tell people how great we are, how great our services are, and really get our business story out there. And in actual fact, what that's doing is fatiguing customers because they're not interested in the business story. They're interested in what's important to them and why it matters to them and what the outcome's going to look like for them. So this story brand framework focuses on seven simple story steps that starts with the customer and what the customer wants. Then it identifies what the problem is and what that internal problem is as well. So what's that sort of internal frustration? And it's the internal frustration that will drive the customer to take that action. So that's really important. Then the business comes in as the guide and shows them the solution to the problem. They have a very clear plan in place of how that customer takes that next step. And then they go to take a clear call to action as well. So quite often we see on websites that we're reviewing that there isn't a clear call to action and there isn't a plan. So people, you know, are on the website, they don't know what the next step is.
Yeah.
And then the final two steps of that are to show them what success looks like. Often we talk about features of our products or products and services. We don't talk about what the outcome looks like for the customer. So that's a really important step. And then the most controversial one is failure. And by adding in failure into the story, what does life look like for the customer if they don't go ahead and do business with you? You know, something that especially I think as British population, we don't like to be too negative. We don't like to, you know, to dwell on that. We don't want to scaremonger people. So we kind of back away from it. But if there isn't a risk of them not doing business with you, then there's no reason for them to do business with you. So that's a really critical element of your story to just kind of sprinkle in. It's a bit like sort of salt in the soup, you know, just a little bit of that. What's that going to look like if you don't go ahead? So that's the seven story steps.
Okay.
And StoryBrand started, it's actually a book written by Donald Miller, his best-selling book, and that explains that process.
Right.
When Sonia and I read the book, we were absolutely captivated. It really kind of chimed in with both of our ethos about, you know, how businesses should be a guide, not at the forefront of the story, how everyone should be investing in their client's success as much as possible. So the next step for us was to go to Nashville to become certified StoryBrand guides. And what that means is that we are now qualified to take businesses through that framework to help them to clarify their message so that they can engage with their clients sooner and for longer. So when people land on their website, what they should be able to do within 5 seconds is know exactly what that business does, why it's important to them, and why they should stay on that site and take those next steps.
No, that's brilliant. That's a brilliant explanation. And I own a number of businesses, and I get inundated with marketing messages and sales messages on a daily basis, and 99% of them drive me bonkers because they're just nonsense. You know, people have done no research into me at all. I get people trying to flog me things I do. You know, and you go, really? Really? It just drives me nuts. And also, one of the things you said that struck a chord with me was about understanding your customer and what your customer's needs are and what your customer or potential customer is looking for. And one of the things that drives me a bit bonkers too with conventional marketing is how smart-ass people are. You know, I get inundated with people going, video, video's the thing. Everybody looks at video. And I go, no, thanks. And I go, no, you don't understand. It's brilliant. And no, it isn't. For me and what I'm doing, it doesn't work. Yeah, because what I'm trying to do is get people to click a link to a website, and you can't do that in a video. And they go, oh. But, you know, it annoys me that people adopt the zeitgeist, you know, the things that are in fashion at the moment, without thinking about whether they work or not for them.
Yeah.
I'll make a video. You see hundreds of them, you know, TikTok videos. You'll go, whoa. And you go, well, you know, you're a painter and decorator. How does that help me? You know, whatever. Yeah.
We see that an awful lot, you know, with the clients that come to us. They are in a real kind of muddle with their marketing. They've been trying to do, you know, they've read the articles of what they should be doing, and they are trying to spread themselves too thinly across all the social platforms, trying to do ads, trying to do this, that and the other.
Yeah.
And actually no one has kind of taken a step back and looked at what's important for their business and what's their strategy behind that. So part of what we do when we're working with business is we just start right from the very bottom of this and look at what the strategy is, look at what their goal is, who their audience are, where their audience is going to be found, and then we work out a way to get them there. But part of that pulls back into that messaging as well. So I'm thinking about one particular client who came to us. She was a coach, and she thought she ought to call herself a life coach because that's what everybody else was calling themselves.
Yeah.
And through this process, she kind of went through a bit of a transformation. Came out the other side as a chronic fatigue coach because that was who she really wanted to work with.
Yeah.
But she was worried about kind of been niching down because she thought that that was going to turn people away. And in actual fact, what's happened is she's had an absolutely phenomenal year where people know exactly what she stands for, who she is, and how she's going to help them. So by being super clear, she's actually grown her business exponentially and more than she could ever have imagined.
I love you. It's one of my big things. The amount of people you talk to, and you go, who are you trying to sell to? And they go, everyone. And you go, no, you can't sell to everyone. You know, that's just a cop-out. You've got to think about what your product is, why you're selling it, who you're selling it to, and why they would want to buy it. But so many people are kind of lazy, and it's understandable to some extent, because the 20th century was all about that. It was all about big scale advertising. You took ads on the radio or TV and you just threw enough out there that some of it would stick. But in the 21st century, we have highly targeted marketing platforms. You don't need to do that. And I love your story, Julie, about a life coach, because one of the things that drives me bonkers is life coaches, because they're not telling you anything. They're just, you know, it's just, you know, there's a million of them out there. So I love that. It is about focus. So that's good to hear.
I think it's one of the reasons why story in itself works so much. So I read an article recently that said that every day we get, you know, bombarded with up to 15,000 marketing messages a day of people trying to sell stuff, billboards, radio, TV. And so as humans, we cannot cope with all that information. We can't possibly take in 15,000 pieces of information. So what the brain does to try and conserve calories, it only takes in the information that is relevant to us. So what the story, you know, what story does, it has a way of kind of hijacking our brain. And if we find ourselves in that story and we can see the problem that we face in that story, then our brain is kind of transported and hijacked into kind of following that through. So it's in the same way if you go to a cinema, you know, go to the cinema, if you're watching a great film that hooks you in, you won't think about anything else for 2 hours, but just sit and watch that film, because it captures your imagination. You're just in that story with them. And that's what, you know, story brand framework does. We're hijacking the brain to be looking at why it is important for your customer to, you know, why you are the right person to help them with the challenge that they are facing, or the problem that they're facing at the moment.
Absolutely. It's interesting, isn't it? The history of Homo sapiens, the human race, is one of storytelling. And before the written word, most of our knowledge about everything was passed down in stories. And even now today, we're still huge story consumers. As you say, with film and TV and all kinds of entertainment are all story based. And they draw us in and get us engaged in what's going on. And I love a story. I'm great at telling stories. Some of my stories are even true-ish.
But you know, actually, that's one of the reasons why we're called Story 22. This is Julie's favourite fact. But you know, story information when delivered in story form is 22 times more likely to be remembered than delivered by facts alone. So it is so powerful to deliver something in story form.
Yeah, as you say, because it draws people in, it engages people, and they go, "Oh, this is interesting." And, you know, "Oh, well," even if they don't agree, you know, even if they go, "Oh, you don't want to do that," you know, it's one of the big things about soap operas on the TV, isn't it? I'm not a great TV watcher, but I have the TV on in my house, and I think, my God, you know, every day, you know, little village in Yorkshire, 20 people get murdered every day, and you think, blimey, how did that happen? you know, it you're right, it pulls people in. So, if I may, you've both perfectly explained what you do, why you do it, and how it's powerful, and I get that. If I may, I'd just like to dwell on the other side of this, which is your experiences of starting a business, because you're, what, just over a year old now. So had either of you run a business before this?
Yes, I have. Yes, I had kind of a boutique marketing agency for about 4.5 years.
Right.
So I still run that alongside Story 22.
Okay. A lot of our listeners are people that are in the early stages of starting businesses, and a lot of people that are thinking of starting businesses. And it's always useful to hear your experiences of your first year. Now, you've had a fairly untypical year to compete with your first year, but you're obviously a dynamic couple. You know, you've gone to Nashville to get involved in this, and you've done stuff, and you've both got a lot of experience in the marketplace that you're in as well. But purely from a business point of view, how have you found starting and running a business for the first year?
Julia and I have both been incredibly lucky that we have found a business partner that enjoys doing the things that we don't like to do.
So that's
a perfect match in that the things that I like to do, Julie's happy not to do. And so the things that Julie likes to do, you know, I'm happy not to do. So that has been a real good match for us.
Yeah.
I think that very early on, we engaged with a business coach that has allowed us to talk through, you know, the strategy and way of us moving forward. So we've been quite strategic in the way that we think about our business as well.
Right.
So we've had monthly coaching sessions almost from day one, you know, to be talking through how we want our business to move forward. And I think one of the things that we have found incredibly valuable between us over the last 15 months is the opportunity to stop and pause and review what we've done, talk through things that have worked, things that haven't worked, things that we'd like to do more of, things that we're, you know, less bothered about doing. And I think every time that we have had those, you know, that opportunity to sit down and take a day just to talk through things, it's been a mini launch pad into, you know, success in another level. And that, I think, as a new business owner, that is probably something we, you know, don't automatically think about scheduling time for that development time.
Right.
And actually that I personally, and, you know, speaking for Julie as well, that has been incredibly beneficial for us.
Yeah.
You know, you are spinning around like a Tasmanian devil in the first year of business, trying to do everything.
Yeah.
And that opportunity to pause and stop and just, you know, reevaluate everything you've done, take lessons from things that didn't work very well,
yeah,
and
definitely
plan how you can prevent those happening again.
Sure.
You know, we've been very, very fortunate and had, you know, a stellar first year that we couldn't have even, you know, we couldn't have even imagined in our wildest dreams. You know, we work with clients kind of all over the world, and we've got some really fantastic clients that we love working with.
Right.
And we enjoy, you know, spending time with them, seeing their businesses grow. And I think, you know, it's very easy to get consumed in that running the business. And I hate the phrase, but, you know, business coaches always say it. But, you know, working on your business, not working in your business, is incredibly important.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of get all of that. And it's a very important message and a very good message to deliver to people. I want to ask you one final question, if I may. And it's about brand. And brand for a small business. Now, most of us are familiar with the concept of brand marketing, Coca-Cola or Vodafone or whatever. And that tends to be the province of big organisations. Just very quickly, is there a place for brand marketing for a small business, do you think?
I think this is a question that comes up time and again with people, and I think that the word brand and the word marketing mean completely different things to different people.
Sure.
And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around this. I think part of what we do through the story brand messaging framework is actually to help people identify who they are as well as what they do. And that means identifying their brand. So what your understanding of brand is, Paul, may be different to what my understanding
sure, yes.
is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of come at it from what I believe brand is. And brand is about what your values, what you stand for, and what service what you're going to deliver, and what the essence of your business is.
Yeah.
You can focus on brand marketing whether you are a small business or whether you're a multi-million conglomerate. And I think if you miss out on what your branding is, then you're missing out on another element of another way that you can position yourself, to differentiate yourself from your competition. Part of the story brand approach, by making that customer focus, you automatically, you know, when companies, firms, whatever, nonprofits work with us, what they naturally do through that process is speak about who they are at the core. and why that's important to the customer. Not why it's important to them particularly, but why it's important to the customer and how that pulls through to a better product, a better service. And so to answer your question, yes, brand marketing is very important if you understand how to pull that through and make that relevant to the customer.
Fantastic.
Sonia, I don't know if you've got anything to add to that from a digital marketing perspective.
Yeah, I think it's understanding what you stand for, you know, what you stand for, the experience. It's not, brand isn't about colours and, you know, of course it is about those things, but it's not just about those things. Sure. It's about who you are, you know, what you stand for. So when you think about Coca-Cola, you know, that gives you, you know, if you think about it, you think about, you know, kind of having a drink with a friend or, you know, having fun. It's all about, you know, if you think about their brand, it's about fun, it's about sport, and they're running around and they're enjoying a Coke at the end of achieving something good. And that is the message they're trying to say. It's, you know, it's a celebration of winning a football game or, you know, having some time with friends. It's about that enjoyment side of things. And that is more, I guess, what a brand is about. It's about the ability to connect what you stand for with a logo, with your brand name, with, the values that you offer.
Fantastic. Ladies, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Give us a shout for your website so that people can find your contact details and find out more about you.
Okay, so we're actually really happy to give anyone that's interested a free website review. If you come and visit our site, which is story22.co.uk, that's story and then the number 22.co.uk, there'll be a link on there where you can register name of your website and leave your email address, and we'll send you a video review of your website.
Fantastic. We'll put those links onto the Kent Business Radio website as well. But for the moment, Sonia Whittam, Julie Firth of Story 22, thank you so much for joining us on The Bunker Show.
Thanks for having us.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being, and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio. That was a lovely Julie and Sonia from Story 22. What a fantastic interview that was. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And it was really interesting and fascinating to talk to them. Now, I'm going to have one. Whilst we were listening to that, I've been under the desk fiddling around, and I still don't think you're working, are you?
No, I'm not. I feel a bit muffled. Can you hear me?
No. Just try the green, just for the hell of it.
Okay. You carry on.
Hold on. Say again.
You carry on waffling.
You're working now.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Okay, that's very odd. I just had a lovely tweet from Tracy Ferguson, and she said it's really good to hear the positivity of the customer focus that Serenity Becker and her team did. And it's great to hear also the apprentice opportunities too. Well done. The new laser machine sounds amazing. I know. Paul Andrews and I were discussing this because it actually removes tattoos, as you heard in the interview, but Paul hadn't listened because he was playing with wires and things. Mm. We don't have tattoos, Paul and I, but apparently they're really, really popular. But then, of course, when you get married and you put, I love Herbert on your arm and then you get divorced. You don't want that on.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, have you seen any of the Twitter stuff? I'm just chuffing myself. I've got a microphone to work at last.
We're actually chatting. Like, I don't have to sit on your lap and breathe garlic.
Oh, no, it was the garlic that was doing it.
It's my new husband. You know, he's been cooking quite a lot on the lockdown.
Right.
Working from home. Mm. But I've got used to social... This is it. We've lost all... I don't deodorise anymore. Mm. Do you? I've got so used to keeping, you know...
He looks at her stunned.
When I used to come in the studio, I didn't have garlic too much and I used to put a bit of perfume on.
You don't care anymore, do you?
No, I don't deodorise or anything. And it was a bit, you know, up close and personal, weren't we? We're not used to it.
Right.
But Tracy has said another thing as well, which I'm just trying to look for, because she said she's been listening to all ours. Don't forget, our show sponsors are Loch Associates, and she's been listening to Story 22 _ Sonia Whittam and Judy Firth as well. So I'll find her tweet on that in a minute.
Okay. I did have a tweet. Sorry, it's all going a bit...
Oh, here it is. Let me just tell you. Sorry. Yeah. So Tracy Ferguson, you can find her on the Tasey 64, and she is the owner and lover of the fabulous Plucky's Cards. So do give her a follow, Tasey 64. She says it's a fantastic interview also with Story 22 _. The stories are the foundation of all of our history. The word itself gives you a clue and are an important part of all businesses. When you have a powerful story, people will listen. When you know why you do what you do, so will your customers. I love that. Yeah, fabulous.
Cool.
Thank you, Tracy.
I had a tweet from Justin Dean of Creative Motion. He says, hey, Vanilla Web and Jules Sirkin, Business Bunker. Hope all is well with you guys. I'm loving the show. So thank you for that.
We haven't heard from him for quite a while.
Well, I have, because I've been talking to him a little bit recently, because he's just launched a new part of his business.
What is it?
It's drone photography and video.
Oh, wow.
And,
I would like to ask him about drones, because say you're lying in your garden naked.
As you do.
And a drone goes over.
Yeah.
It's a little bit... Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, where is your privacy?
Well, you have to be licensed to fly a drone.
But they could still see you lying in your garden.
Yeah.
Because we have quite a few going. They'd go right past my, you know, my living room is first floor. They whiz past your living room. You could be doing anything. I once had, I once was doing something. My regular window cleaner came, and he was a young chap. This is about 20 years ago, and I was in better shape. And I was actually bending over naked in my office, rummaging about getting something. Mm. And the window cleaner popped up at the window. Mm. And there was this embarrassing moment, and I never saw him again. I had to find a new window cleaner.
You scared him off?
Well, I don't know. I think he was just embarrassed, because he probably should have knocked.
Tracy Ferguson has tweeted.
What about window cleaning?
No. When you're cleaning windows. I could have played that, couldn't I?
Yeah, you
no, did. She says, fantastic interview with Story 22. Stories are the foundation of all of our history. The word itself gives you a clue and are an important part of all businesses. When you have a powerful story, people will listen. When you know why you do what you do, so will customers. Absolutely true.
I just said that, but you're so used to my mic not working.
Had you read that one out?
You said it so much better, don't worry.
Sorry. It's all a bit fraught and stressy this afternoon, isn't it?
Athelbrey.
I'm just really chuffed I got a microphone working.
It's just nice to chat.
I'm a techie. Hey.
Yeah, it's just nice. Well, I think you did very well. You are good. I mean, if I'd have been here with my new husband, he wouldn't have known what to do. Mm. That's why we have electricians coming. Mm. The folks at Athelbrey, hello to you. They've used the Bee Bunker hashtag, and they say, here's a Tuesday training tip. Tuesday training tip from Athelbrey. Now, it's quite small font because a little photo and my glasses are in my handbag. But it says, last weekend we met friends for a meal. Told you my glasses were in my bag. At a local restaurant. We had a table inside but had to order at the outside bar. Not a problem, but the bottle of red wine we ordered was at the inside bar. It's all very confusing. They then had to send someone inside to get the wine and bring outside for us to take back inside on a tray. Are you following this, listener? To our table. They didn't have the freedom to use common sense and say, we'll bring it to your table. Not giving your staff the authority to think and act using their initiative hinders their ability to provide a good service at to your customers. Often the starting point is to get their input as to what works best on the shop floor and adjust your rules and regulations to ensure best practice. That is very, very, very true, and it's a great hospitality tip. I shall send that to our hospitality friends. So thanks for that. Athelbrae, for your Tuesday training tip.
Fantastic stuff. So I've relaxed now because you can talk, and so I'm expecting you to talk. Yeah. But I bet you've read all your emails, haven't you?
I haven't actually got them because I've left them over at your mic.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. There's an online... Amazon are also doing stuff in Dartford. Mm. So this is online retail giant Amazon, who I presume are now paying tax properly. They've informed that they're going to create more than 1,300 jobs at a huge new fulfilment centre in Dartford. And it's a £205 million warehouse. It'll be based on the site of the decommissioned Littlebrook Power Station next to Tunnel Approach on the River Thames. Amazon have previously said it's due to open in August. Now, when completed, the four-storey mega box will encompass 2.3 million square feet. It's equivalent to roughly 30 football pitches. Come on, England. The facility will be powered by what is said to be the largest solar photovoltaic scheme.
It's easy for you to say.
Of any new development in the UK, with 3.5 megawatt capacity. I feel like such a geek reading this. Mm. The announcement comes as Amazon reveals its plans to create 10,000 permanent jobs in the UK during 2021, taking its workforce in the nation to more than 55,000. So it's good that there are jobs coming to Dartford. Mm. Yeah, I think that's a positive, don't you, Paul Andrews?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And of course, they're going to be using drones, won't they, soon to deliver?
For deliveries, they've also got a robo dog.
What does that do?
It's a robot. It? No, it delivers parcels.
Okay, on the pavement.
Yeah.
So walks along.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Honestly, you think I'm joshing, don't you?
Yeah.
No, in London and other conurbations, they've got a robot dog that carries the parcel in its mouth and goes. They guide it along the pavement and up to your door and drop it off.
Well,
honestly.
How many dogs have they got?
Just the one, I think.
They could hire Cassie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're going to have homing pigeons next, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're just so excited the mics are working.
I know. It's amazing what little things amuse me these days.
What do you actually do?
I unplugged some stuff and plugged some stuff in under the desk. As you know, because you took a photograph of me whilst the whilst I was listening to Story 22, I was actually on my back under the desk playing with all the cables, and I plugged a cable in that was not plugged in place of one that was plugged in, and all of a sudden... the wrong mic started working, but it worked.
What I'm impressed with is the fact that you actually got up again.
Afterwards, yeah, yeah.
When I now go to the beach and have to lie on the floor on a towel, I'm of the age, I've got a little metal knee, as a lot of bunker listeners know from a horse riding accident. So I have to get up like a giraffe, sort of hands and legs, like a downward dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is the only way I get up, and then I have to shuffle my feet. So I was quite impressed. I think, you know, we're quite athletic getting up again.
Well, something like that. It'll take me an hour or so to get over it as the blood comes back to my head.
How's your lumbago?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. At my age, rolling around on the floor is not a good thing to do. But anyway, enough of that.
Unless it's with someone.
I just want to talk about one of the things that we were going to talk about right up front before we discovered we weren't able to talk, which is about the supposed reopening on July the 19th. And I just want to make the point, and I think it needs to be made forcibly, the French government and the Greek government, totally against EU rules, are starting to make vaccinations mandatory. That is not acceptable. In the UK, they kind of bottled that a bit. And what they're saying here is not that vaccines are mandatory, but that you can't meet with people that haven't been vaccinated, or they can't go into pubs if they haven't been vaccinated or whatever. That is outrageous. Now, I've been vaccinated, so it doesn't affect me, but there are people like Jules that can't get the second vaccine because of their health. There are people like my daughter-in-law that can't even get the first vaccine because she has issues that prevent her from having the vaccine. We can't live in a two-tier society, and we can't force people to have chemicals injected into them.
Exactly.
It's not acceptable.
Exactly.
It is totally and utterly unacceptable.
There is an interview tomorrow on Radio 5 at live at 10 a.m. with one of the suffering families who've had an AZ vaccination. I'm assuming that is a sad death.
Mm.
But, you know, I was not anti-vax, as those of you who know me, and I trotted along as I was told to have my vaccination. I had a celebration coffee in Canterbury because we both had ours,
yeah,
didn't we, at the cinema. But when I had
film that was rubbish, well,
yeah, no popcorn,
yeah.
But when I had my vaccination, and this is what a lawyer's been talking to me about, at no time did they give me any warning about these adverse effects. And this is right back in March, so we didn't know. It's all coming out now, and started coming out in April actually, and possibly with an autoimmune disease. I have thyroid Hashimoto's. I probably shouldn't have had that vaccination. But we cannot live in a two-tiered society. You know, am I going to be ostracized? And I know somebody that can't go back to work because she can't have her second vaccination. She's had strokes.
This is the problem for me, is that they're trying to attack it as if the only people that haven't had the vaccination are people that are anti-vax. Mm. And whilst there are a huge number of people that are anti-vax, there's also a fairly substantial number of people that would love to be vaccinated but can't be. And that for me, is the biggest part of the problem. Mm. Is, although you shouldn't force anybody to be vaccinated anyway, that is ridiculous. You can persuade them. But,
well, that's what they've been doing. Look at the propaganda.
Yeah, exactly. No matter what, there's an issue here that if vaccines become mandatory, what about the people that can't be vaccinated? And they could go, oh, yeah, well, there will be exemptions. But that didn't work with masks, did it?
No.
You know, the amount of trouble. I mean, the masks are ridiculous because they don't work. Mm. It even says so on the packet.
Yeah.
On the packet of masks that you buy, there's a big note on the back that says this does not protect you from the COVID virus.
Yeah.
And yet people walk around with them on as if it did, and it doesn't.
It gives you mask-ney as well.
Yeah. But there was supposed to be an exemption for people that had health issues, but it didn't work. People still got shouted at in places and banned from places and not allowed in supermarkets and stuff.
Well, I think these new, you know, we're going to be hopefully released, but you know, I've kind of lost track of what all the rules are anyway. I can't keep up.
Well,
the fact that tens of thousands of people can go to a football match,
and
yet we can't have a wedding of, what is it, over 30 now?
Yeah,
I've lost track. I'm not sure about funerals now. Do you know?
Well, let's kind of mention this for the last few minutes of the show.
Now we've got microphones.
Yeah. As of July the 19th, which is when?
Next week.
Next Monday,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
As of July the 19th, all the restrictions come to an end. What they're saying is they highly recommend that you're vaccinated and you don't meet with other people that aren't vaccinated.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. They're also saying that mandatory masks will end, but they recommend you wear them on public transport and in places where there's lots of people, except that all of the politicians recommending this all went to Wimbledon without them, and there were quite a few people there as well.
Yeah,
and then they all went to the football.
G7 as well.
The football was even worse. The president of Brazil, which is a red country, flew in, didn't quarantine, didn't wear a mask, hasn't been vaccinated, and sat with 60,000 other people.
Yeah.
How's that work then?
It doesn't give a very good... Well, let's talk about Matt Hancock.
I mean, no, that's not.
I mean, it's one rule for some. And, you know, there was Matt just spouting out.
And that is the credibility problem that the politicians have got, is that their message is completely wrong. It's nonsensical. But anyway, what I want to talk about for the last few minutes is opening up again. Because at last, for the moment, it seems like as of next Monday, we will be able to open up again. The government are saying that they're not going to force you to work at home, but they recommend it. So it's a series of recommendations, but they're not going to enforce them. And it's the same with wearing masks. I think that's a recipe for disaster because lots of people are getting upset about this. Mm. You know, you've got a lot of people that think that masks are the be all and end all
people
of everything.
People are terrified. We've had people wearing three masks where I live, elderly especially. Yeah. They're terrified.
And they're scared of other people that haven't got masks on. So it's causing lots of problems. And I don't think that's very useful.
Yeah. And just to let you know, I'm following someone called Mark Harper on the Twitter. And they say he says the Commons will tomorrow be asked to vote on Draft Health and Social Care Act 2008, which is Regulated Activities Amendment for the Coronavirus Regulations of this year, 2021. He says, sounds fairly innocuous. No, these are actually the regulations to bring in compulsory vaccination, not just for care staff. So that is actually happening tomorrow. Mm. You need to follow Mark _J_Harper to find out more.
Mark Harper's an MP.
Yeah, he's MP for the Forest of Dean.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not just some idiot. He knows what he's talking about. They're sneaking this in. And as Paul has just said, you know, I went and had my vaccination in good faith and I cannot have the second. So what do I do? Justin Dean on a more...
I was just going to read that, yeah.
Go on then.
No, you read it. Go on.
He says, any concerns about nude sunbathing and drone misuse, you can report it by calling your local police on 101. Ha ha. I love that. Yeah, but my local police take about 10 days to come, even if there's a burglary.
Even if you say, I'm naked in the garden, I need you now.
They definitely wouldn't come. I mean, my window cleaner never did come back, so.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's another one of those things, isn't it, that our privacy can be invaded quite easily. And all of these technical issues, whether it's drones, vaccinations, big tech companies managing what you do. We're living in very dangerous times now. And those dangerous times are primarily brought about by technology. And what we've done is we've created technology that interconnects everything and makes our life easy by connecting everything up. Mm. The trouble is once someone like a big tech company like Twitter or Facebook have control of your life, they can do whatever they want.
Well, I happen to know that quite a few people have been silenced talking about the vaccine and
well,
the
of course,
effect. You do know that 330 people have now gone blind from the AstraZeneca jab and the Pfizer jab. I know for sure it's on the yellow card. You can look.
While we're having a bit of a rant about this, Twitter and Instagram managed to ban the President of the United States, the 45th President of the United States, Trump. They managed to ban people. They banned me for retweeting my own stuff, right?
They banned me for writing about a chink of light.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But they refused to take down the abuse directed at the footballers missing penalties. Now, you tell me why they can't take that down. You tell me why they can't remove that.
Yeah.
You tell me why a lot of the accounts that were doing that were fake accounts.
Mm.
Yeah,
mm.
They were actually people outside the UK. You tell me why they can't remove those. They can remove everybody else, but they won't remove those.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me.
No, and I heard an interview with Marcus Radford this morning, and it was just so sad. He was absolutely, you know, absolutely his soul was destroyed for missing that penalty. And it was a beautiful interview. I'm sure you'll find it again later on the news that he'd written himself, and how he felt he'd let everybody down. So for them to suffer that sort of abuse is just
it's
awful.
Magnified, but it's not new.
No,
it's not new. Those of you that are old enough to remember our media, and so not random members of the public, our media used to do this many years ago. The Sun had a front page headline where they showed the then current England manager, Graham Taylor, as a turnip.
Really?
Yeah. And they also published pictures of back in, I can't remember what year it was, 1990 World Cup, I can't remember, where David Beckham got sent off.
Yeah.
The press ran pictures of him being hung from gallows.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is none of this is new, this abuse of sports people that mess up.
But now we have social media, it sort of amplifies.
It amplifies it, and that's the problem. It's being amplified. What really gets my goat, though, is the media all come along and go, this is disgusting. Well, you've been doing it for 30 years, so you can shut up, yeah?
Well, look at the Daily Mail. My mum buys the Daily Mail, and I read it after her because I'm too embarrassed to buy it. But I kind of like bits of it. But my new husband, who's a journalist, says, you've been reading the Daily Mail. But the way they pitch Kate Middleton with with Meghan, you know, you can see now that Meghan's upset everybody in the UK, now it's Kate this, Kate that, look how marvellous she is. And I'm sure she is. I love Kate. You know, she's beautiful. She's gorgeous. But the Daily Mail pitch them up against each other all the time. And I think it's very catty and spiteful, and I wish people would just be a little bit more...
I said this when I was having lunch with Darren yesterday, Darren Wheel from Intim PR. I said this yesterday. One of my real hates is the media in this country. I think our media is disgusting.
Yeah,
I think
but it's even worse
trouble.
In America.
Well, hold on. I said... I think the media is dreadful. And he looked at me and he went, you are the media.
Well, yeah.
And that is true to some extent. You know, we're
but we do try and be positive.
Normally.
We're not catty.
Yeah, no, I am having a bit of a rant today. But then I think it's important, you know, that we start to address what's going on
here. I'm always pretty upbeat, as you know. You've worked with me for years. But today, when I listened to the news and they were talking about letting us all out next week, next Monday, as you said, and then they're talking about the rising cases. And I just actually felt this wash over me of doom. A, I'm not feeling well after my AZ, having to have lots of blood tests and things. But B, I don't see an end to this. And I think that's the trouble. We can all put up with stuff for we have done admirably. We've been locked in. We haven't been able to sit. Just think, we were not allowed to sit down on a bench with a cup of coffee. I mean, you couldn't believe that 2 years ago, could you?
The problem is there's too much obfuscation here.
Good word.
Nobody knows what they're looking at because they keep throwing statistics out that don't tell you anything. You know, they use the term cases as if people are falling down in the street. But what they are is positive tests from a test that doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen, all the school kids are getting 10 days off school by testing themselves using orange squash.
Yeah.
Because the acidity in those fruit drinks gives you a positive result. So... there's too much, and also everybody asks the same question that you did. If it's that bad, how come the Grand Prix took place? Yeah. How come Wimbledon took place? How come the Euros took place? How come the World Cup is taking place? How can all these people fly in from all over the world in hundreds of thousands? You know, 60,000 people at Wembley.
Crazy.
If that's okay, why isn't it okay for everybody else? Yeah. If it's not okay, why would you allow it to go ahead anyway?
And also, we haven't got much time, but ivermectin. What they're saying, ivermectin.
I remember Ivor the engine.
But, you know, they're saying that this really, really helps with the disease. But it's hushed up. Nobody's talking about it because it's not a drug that makes money. It's a drug that's used for parasites in Africa and places. Yeah. So, you know, if there is a drug, and they're saying vitamin D, we should all be taking vitamin D, vitamin C and zinc for our immune. So if our immune will fight off COVID, then I don't know why we're all being hemmed in. I don't know. I don't want to get COVID, but all I know is I'm worse after the jab than I was before.
I think where we are is a complete mess. And it needs someone to get a grip of this and to actually start being honest with what's going on. But that isn't going to happen with politicians because most of them they're all copying each other. Yeah.
There have been 8 billionaires made.
Yeah,
I'm not
worried about that so much. I'm not a conspiracy theorist at that level. What I am is you've got to be honest with people. And currently what you're saying doesn't make any sense. You know, on the one hand, you've got thousands of people meeting. And on the other hand, you're saying 20 of you can't go over there. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And also, I am vehemently, utterly against mandatory vaccinations or even secondary things by saying, well, it's not mandatory, but you can't go out if you haven't had one.
When 330 people have gone blind so far from the vaccination, you know, normally they would pull something. Normally just 50 problems, they would pull a vaccination or pause it. And that isn't happening. And it is worrying. And like I said, what worries me is I can't see an end to this.
No.
I see that this winter is going to be extremely grim.
I want to try and end on a positive note if we can. And we've only got a minute left.
Got any wine?
Yeah. We are due to reopen from next Monday. So hopefully we will open up. You're clearing off on holiday, so you're not going to be here next Tuesday,
you know,
are you?
I'm the best camper ever, of course.
Anyway, we're at the end of the show. I just want to remind you, the Business Bunker Extra Show is on Thursday at 1 o'clock, and I've got an interview with the fantastic Rachel Stevens, who's the chair of the Institute of Hospitality for Sussex and front of house for the beautiful beautiful Penny Hill Park Hotel. So do check that out, 1 o'clock on Thursday. But that's it for another week from us. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.